All right, let's get ready for the study of the Word of God. And before we get started, that's some really good news on Jim Langston. Anytime you battle things that can be cancerous, it's serious and it's dangerous. So give us a brief report of up here on the forehead. Okay. Well, those are all very good news. And we're very thankful to the Lord, Jim. Now, you got those continually. I'm not stopping to pray just because of that report. I want it just to go away, that to go away. And I plan on you being around as long as I'm here. So, I don't know. We both are gone. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. And tonight is an honor, really, of Vicki. This is going to be very basic, and really some basic stuff, and get going here. And I had a good talk with Vicki. It's a very brief one, but... She grew up Catholic, but by her own confession, she believed in Jesus Christ as Savior after meeting Grady. So, Grady, good deal. All right. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. It doesn't matter what we're studying. Every part of it is so enriching to our lives, challenging us to live each day, honoring you and your Son. Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and understand tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Now, almost every Christian, and I put that in quotes, has heard of the 12 original apostles, if nothing more than in stained glass windows on church buildings. And most have heard of John, the writer of the gospel, Peter, two epistles by his name, Matthew, one of the gospels, and most everybody has heard of Judas, the betrayer. So that takes four. That leaves eight. That leaves eight apostles. Now, many people are confused. Let's just jump to one, James. Now, many people think that the writer of the book of James is an apostle. He is not. James is not a writer of the writer of the epistle is not an apostle. One, he is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Two, along with his brothers and sisters were children of Joseph and Mary, Matthew 13:55, Mark 6:3. I'll never forget years and years ago. I just said this as passing what we were doing. And Jerry Jensen come running up. Wait a minute. You mean Mary and Joseph had other children? And I said, hey, I don't believe it. So we got right there at the church. The church looked at it. He said, well, the Catholic Church been lying to me all these years. So they had a lot of children. Matthew 13:55, Mark 6:3. And then three, even though he was not one of the original 12, he was slow in believing his half-brother was the promised Messiah. But he did believe and was later considered an apostle. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Now, I hope you have your Bibles because you're going to need them tonight. Here's Bible church, you're going to need your Bibles. Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. This is Paul speaking, beginning of his ministry. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So we know right there that this is the half-brother of the Lord. I emphasize half-brother because, of course, The Holy Spirit is the Father of Jesus Christ, but Joseph is the father of the brothers and sisters. And in point four, he was a leader of the church in Jerusalem. Galatians chapter 2. So since you're in Galatians, let's look at chapter 2, verse 9. And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James, whom he's already mentioned, and Peter and John were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised, that is, the Jews. So this is confirms the acceleration that the half-brother of the Lord did make once he did believe in him as the Messiah and became a leader in the church and became a writer of Scripture. Five, appears to be president of the First Jerusalem Council. We've studied the Jerusalem Councils, and he's, I don't know about president, but he's the leader of the Jerusalem Council. You can see that in Acts 15:13. We won't turn to there, but Acts 15:13. And then six, the author of the Epistle of James in the Bible. Now, the name James in the English of Jacob from the Hebrew means supplanter, one who takes the place of another, and was a common name at this time in history. And here's the problem of confusion. Not only is there James, the half-brother of our Lord, but two of the original 12 were also named James. So we have James, the half-brother of the Lord, James, the author of the epistle, and then we have two who were apostles. Now, let's take a look at those two quickly. First of all, James, known as the son of Zebedee, Z-E-B-E-D-E-E, son of Zebedee. Now, what you remember about this James, he's the brother of John. John is his brother. So, what we're getting ready to see, and if I had a lot of young people teaching, this is what I point out really heavy. You wanna hang around and be friends with those who are like-minded with you spiritually. You're gonna see a lot of interrelationship with these young men who are the apostles of Christ. They're not going to be 12 scattered out young men. They're going to be 12, and a lot of them are closely related. So, James, the son of Zebedee, is the brother of John. Now, Zebedee, the Greek name from the Hebrew, Jehovah has given, and all we can say is that he and his wife reared their children to love Jehovah. Two of their sons, will become the apostles, James and John. And by the way, for the record, his wife's, Zebedee's name, wife's name, is Salome, S-A-L-O-M-E. Another important woman in the life of Jesus Christ. Her name means complete. I don't like the name Salome, but it means complete, whole, or sound. So, she is mentioned with three important events in the New Testament. Okay? So I'm going to have you turn to a couple of these. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Now, what we're getting ready to read, she loved her sons. She loved the Lord. But we learn a little bit about her. She's a very ambitious woman. She's going to ask the Lord to promote her two boys. She wants them front and center. So let's just read this, and then we'll talk a few minutes about it. Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 20 through 24. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down, showing respect, and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command." Now, this woman gets a little aggressive, telling Jesus Christ to make a command, but I want to show you how the Lord's going to handle her. "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left." So this is a very ambitious mother. If her daughter was a cheerleader, she'd be one of those and be out there really getting her daughter to be the first one. But one on your right, one on your left. Now watch Jesus, verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, "Who are you, woman? Shut up and sit down." No, isn't what he does. He doesn't do that. "You do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink, the cross?" They said to him, "We are able." So we know where they got their arrogance, where they got their attitude about themselves. "We're able." Verse 23. He said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right hand and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And hearing this, the 10 became indignant with these two brothers. So here we have these, we'll say 12 guys, young, and they're all teenagers, remember that. They're 15 to 20. And they got a little indignant toward John and James that they wanted to be on the right end. And there was their mother pushing them. And you can just see how this would cause some tension among the disciples. Now, the Lord was not tough on her, I do not think. Not nearly as tough as he was on his mother when he said to her, "Woman." But so he didn't do that to her. So we're not going to be tough on her either, which is the way many pastors are very tough on her for this. So that's the first, yes.
Have something similar to this when they're going up to the upper room, they're deciding who's greater than who and who's going to wash whose feet and so on.
Yes.
And so,
yeah. And then this goes on all the time. Well, they're competing to be on the best side of the Lord. Now, so that's the first occurrence. She's also at the crucifixion. Look at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. I'm in no hurry to rush through these. It's been a long time since we've looked at these men, so you should get to know a little bit about them. And we all know someone like them. And we'll see some of our own traits in them. And we'll go, wow, okay. So, you know, unfortunately, the classic artists all had a very pious, holy men looking up at the sky, looking down, praying. These are just normal guys. These are just normal teenagers. They know the Word of God. But they have a sin nature. They have a flesh nature. So let's look at Mark chapter 15, and let's note verse 20. Mark 15:20. And after... Let's see, no, that's not right. Mark 15:20. Well, that isn't the proper verse. I'm sorry. But she is at the crucifixion. Verse 40. Let's see here. And there were also, yes, some women looking on, thank you, from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the less, we'll come to him in a few moments, and Joseph and Salome. So she's there at the crucifixion. Not only is she there, she's at the tomb. Mark 16:1. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices, they might come and anoint him. So Mary Magdalene has befriended herself with some very close people to the Lord. And these women supported him financially with their own money. And we studied that in other places. Now let's go back to Zebedee's son, James. He's known as James the Elder to distinguish him. So let's note a few things about this James. Because we have two James, this is one. One, James and John's response to the call of Jesus Christ is one that shows immediate readiness, eagerness to follow the Lord. This is encouragement to all of us, the way we should be. Look at Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 1. Huh? To get the possession that she wanted? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, all right, let's try Luke 5. Maybe Luke 5 will at least have it. I don't know if it words it the way I like it, but Luke 5, 10 and 11. And so, Luke 5, and we're looking at verse 10. And also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. They're partners with Peter from the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, if anybody has a Bible with notes on the side, where else is that verse 10 recorded? I'm sorry? Matthew 14, 27. Let's take a look. Matthew 14, 27. No, that's not it. Okay, let's go on. Jesus called him and his brother John. He called them sons of thunder. Look at Mark 3. Hopefully some of these will be right. My computer couldn't have been this wrong all the way through. So let's see if it's right on Mark 3:17. Huh? Yeah, it's my computer. Mark 3:17. It went out on me the other day, probably right in the middle of all of this. Okay, Mark 3:17. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to them he gave names, Barjonas, which means sons of thunder. And let's read, 3:13 through 19, here while we're here. Mark chapter 3:13 through 19. And he went up on a mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came with him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. And he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, and the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. I like the way it's written here. But anyway, they, the brother of James. To them he gave the name Barjonas, which means sons of thunder. Andrew and Philip, Bartholomew and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and we'll come to him in a moment, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Okay, now the second thing on this James, the son of Zebedee, He was also known as James the Elder, to contrast him with the other disciple named James. 3, he was a fisherman with his father and brother John. 4, he was a partner with Peter. So they all worked together on the Sea of Galilee. 5, he was a leader in the Church of Jerusalem, Galatians 2:9. 6, it is so interesting how artists picture the 11 pious, humble, weak-looking men. James was vengeful and fiery. Vengeful and fiery. Look at Luke 9. Just to learn a little bit about him. We get a little glimpse of most of these men. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to look at verses 54 through 56. Luke 9, 54. And when his disciples, James and John, remember their brothers, that's John the writer of the gospel, saw this, they said, well, what they saw was the town rejected him. Look at verse 51. And it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension, and he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him. And they went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. And they did not receive him because he was journeying with his face toward Jerusalem. Now, here's the point. When James and John saw this, they together, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? We'll just knock them out. See? That's their way of handling things. Well, the Lord says no. But he turned and rebuked him and said, you do not know what kind of a spirit you're of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. That just gives you an idea of what John, the writer of the Gospel, and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation, what he and his brother were like. They were feisty young men, and ready to take on whatever happens. Point 7, selfish and conceited. Read Mark 10, 35 through 45. Well, let's just go ahead. We've read part of this, but let's look at it from their angle. Mark 10, 35. Mark 10, 35. And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him saying to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you. Well, they talk to their mother, don't they? I want you to command. Now, we want you to do what we want. And he said, didn't brace him. I love the Lord here. He said, well, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right, one on your left. This is their version of the story that we read a few moments ago. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drank, or be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized, the cross? And they said to him, oh, we're able. You can just hear them. We're able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left, that is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. So this is how they got in trouble with the Lord. Okay, well, let's just continue reading. And hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But whosoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So this gives you an idea of these brothers and of the Lord using that to teach them. Not brace them. Teach them. Learn a lot from the Lord here. Okay, point seven. Let's see, no, that was point seven. Point eight. It should be noted the commitment of this man to the end of his life. First, he's the first, this James is the first of the 12 to be martyred and the only disciple whose death for his faith is recorded in Scripture. Look at Acts chapter 12. He is the only one whose death is recorded. Now, if some of you like me, well, what about Peter? He has to be upside down. That's tradition. That's tradition. It's not recorded in Scripture. So let's look at Acts 12, 1 through 3. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So this gets in by this point in Acts, get into a lot of the hostility. And so just wanted you to appreciate the fact this James, the only one whose death is recorded in Scripture as a martyr for Christ. And 9, present at the raising of the daughter of Jairus. Remember, one of the people that Jesus Christ brought back from the dead was this girl. In Mark 5, 35 through 43, and we might as well look at that. Mark 5, these are just events in Christ's life in the flow of these disciples. So, this is something we don't normally get into, so let's just take a look. Mark chapter 5, and let's read 35 from verse 35. Mark 5 from verse 35. While he was still speaking, so Christ is speaking, came forth the house of the synagogue official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken while he's speaking, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." And he followed, and he allowed no one, this is interesting, and he allowed no one to follow with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So, usually John is given the priority position, but in a lot of these cases, I think you're seeing the position of James. So, nobody else was allowed in the room where this girl was lying down. And they came to the house of the synagogue official, and he beheld a commotion, and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions, Peter, James, and John, and they entered the room where the child was. And taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha, whom?" Translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately, The girl rose and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given her to eat. I love the Lord here. She's a 12-year-old. She was hungry now. She just woke up. Give her something to eat. And when our grandchildren come over and spend the night, that's what they're ready to do is eat. Now, in the summer, it's really fun because they get up. One gets up about 10, and one gets up about 2, and then one gets up about 3. And I'm in there fixing the lid. One of their fathers came and said, look, tell them their breakfast is served at 12 o'clock. If they want it, come. If they don't, forget it. Oh, you can't do that, my grandchildren. Can't do that. But I love the Lord here. Give her something to eat. That is so beautiful. Not give her the gospel. Just give her something to eat. And so I just think it's beautiful. And then 10, he had private time with the Lord, Mark 13:3. 11 was with Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26. 12, witness of the transfiguration. This is a very interesting one. He is a witness of the transfiguration of Christ with Peter and John and James, Mark 9:2-8. Now, tradition, this is not biblical, tradition has it he ministered in Spain and died a martyr in Spain. But that's just tradition. Okay, but there was another disciple named James. So we've had James, the writer of Scripture, James, half-brother of our Lord, James, the elder, a disciple, but we have another James. James, the son of Alphaeus. The name means successor, leader. And this is the name, by the way, Alphaeus, of two different disciples of our Lord. A man by this name was the father of Matthew. Look at Matthew, or look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. Mark 2:14. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Now, so that's Matthew, and he's the son of Alphaeus. But a man by the name of that same name is said to be the father of James the Lesser. Now, just to let you know, there's discussion as to whether Matthew and James the Less were brothers. I don't believe they were, but that's fine. Of course, it's fine. They are never called brothers, as are the James and John, the sons of Zebedee. But, of course, that doesn't rule out that the possibility they were brothers. But it seems likely that if they were brothers, they would have been noted by somebody in the writings. And the name Alphaeus is not that uncommon that there'd be two fathers with that name. So you can just do with that whatever you wish. Now, point two, he is called James the Less for one of two reasons. To distinguish him from James the son of Zebedee, or, as many commentators say, because he was short in stature. They just called him Shorty. So that's the possibility. And I personally have no problem with that either. And so that's what he would have been known for. And three, he is listed as one of the 12 in Matthew 10:3 and Acts 1:13. We know nothing of this disciple. So that's just all that we know of James the Lesser. He was always there, but we don't know any more about him. Now, just to complete the list, so far we've studied six. John, or noted six, we didn't study John, Peter, Matthew, Judas, and the two James. So, let's look at Andrew real quick. Andrew. The name means strong or manly. I like that. Strong or manly. One, brother of Peter. It's very interesting, these, there have been a relationships here. He's the brother of Peter. And he lived in Capernaum with Peter, Mark 1:29, was a fisherman, Matthew 4:18. Two, apparently, he was the first disciple to follow Jesus, recognizing Jesus as a teacher and of John the Baptist. Look at John chapter 1. Now, this I think I know is going to be accurate. John 1. John 1, and we're going to read a little bit just for the fun. Let's start at verse 29. John 1, 29. The next day, John the Baptizer, saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, if you have scripture, you understand Old Testament history, you know exactly what he's saying, and this Andrew does. Look, this is on his behalf of whom I said, "After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water." There was no baptizing before the baptism of John the Baptizer. Got to understand that. Okay, verse 32. "And John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him," the Holy Spirit. "And I did not recognize him, but he sent me to baptize in water, said to me, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness, this is the Son of God." Now verse 35. "And the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." You can just see what's happening here. These two young boys heard this is the Messiah. They started following him. Now look at verse 38. "Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, What do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi," translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," translated meaning Peter. So apparently the first one to follow Jesus is Andrew. And he knew enough of Scripture, and he knew how to put all these things together. And I'll tell you something else I like. As soon as he heard the truth, he went and told his brother. Some people teach you got to have a lot of doctrine and knowledge to witness. No, you don't, people. I know people they get on at one of the most beautiful stories that the Risleys tell. They'll be driving down, they'll see this house, they'll stop and go up to the house, knock on the door, and just say, "May we tell you about Jesus?" And every time, they've never been told no. They say, "Yes, please come in." They go in and they tell them about Jesus Christ. And it is so amazing. They say, some of them say, can you just wait a minute? Can you just sit down and have something to drink, a little water or something? I want my brothers. I want my sister. I want my family to hear this. Some of them say, can you come back tonight? And they'll come back tonight and there'll be 20 people there. And you looked out there, where do they come from? There's just one house up there. But they just live around out there somewhere. 20 of them come. When you love someone and you find something so truthful, you've got to share it. You've got to share it. You've got to tell others about it. And so that is what happened at this case. So let's continue looking at Andrew. One, he's a brother of Peter and lived in Capernaum. Two, apparently the first disciple to follow the Lord. And now point three. When certain Greeks wished to speak to Jesus, they came to Andrew. Well, we're going to fill it in a little bit. But let's look at John 12. John 12. We'll be coming back here, but let's look at it with this in mind. John 12, 20-23. Now, think with me. Get in your ability. Wait a minute, John 12. John 13 is going to be the upper room. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. John 18 is the Garden of Gethsemane. John 19 is the crucifixion, the burial of Christ. John 20 is the resurrection. So that's where we are. That's where we are. We're that close. So watch what's going to happen in John chapter 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks, Gentiles, among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, you've got to appreciate the fact, up to this time, every time Christ had done something, don't tell. I've come just for the Jews. I've come for the Jews, not for the Gentiles. This is disturbing. What are they going to do? Verse 22. So Philip came and told Andrew. And Andrew and Philip came and they told Jesus. So this is how serious this is. I don't really have the courage to go up there by myself. But, you know, you go with me, we can scratch each other's back and got to encourage each other. So they went up to Jesus and they said, "Lord, there's some Greeks, Gentiles, who want to talk with you. What are you going to do? Don't get mad at us." All right? Verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, one thing interesting about studying the Gospel of John is you read it all. His hour had not come. The Pharisees, Sadducees, they came to kill him. They plotted to kill him. But his hour had not come. His hour had not come. His hour had not come. And all of a sudden, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. So, this is what we have happening at this point in our study. And, of course, he is at the room where Jesus Christ made his post-resurrection appearances. Next one. Philip. Who knows the famous Philip in history? Huh? Yeah. Who is the father of? Alexander the Great. So this is a very Gentile name. I bring that up because I want to talk about it. Okay. Philip. The name means lover of horses. Okay, one, born in Bethsaida, same place, birth of Peter and Andrew, Bethsaida means fishing town or hunting town. It's actually built in two parts. It reminds me of Texoma. And it's one side of Texas and one side of Oklahoma. Well, that's what you think of Bethsaida. Oh, I don't have my little map. I don't have the overhead. But anyway, it's at the upper end of it. This is the Sea of Galilee. And this is the south down here, Jerusalem. Up here, where it meets the river again, on one side of the where the river comes into the Sea of Galilee is Bethsaida, and on the other side is Bethsaida. Okay? So that's what we have with Bethsaida. Why is all that important, Herman? Let me tell you why. On the west side is where Philip, Andrew, and Peter were born. On the west side. On the east side is where Jesus Christ fed the 5,000. So it's all happening in this area. And did we go to Bethsaida? We did? Okay. I couldn't remember whether we did or not. All right. Eve, did you go to Bethsaida? Okay. And I guess if you go to Capernaum, you're going to go to Bethsaida. They're right there together. So close. Okay. We're dealing with Philip. Believed by some to have been the only Gentile among the apostles. Now, we don't know that for a fact. It's just believed by some to be a Gentile among the apostles, which would explain why the seeking Greeks went to Philip and Andrew first, went to Philip first, seeking Greeks and asking them, because he's a Gentile. 3, followed Jesus Christ immediately. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 41. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. Okay? This is Simon Peter's brother. And so, verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated means Peter. The next day, he purposed to go forth to Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was born, was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law spoke of, also the prophets wrote." I want to finish that when we come Nathanael. So let's just finish looking at Philip. But I want you to see how all he said was, "Follow me," and he took off and followed him with no problem. 4, the first act of Philip was to go tell Nathanael. Peter's brother was the first time to go tell Peter. Now, Philip's first act is go tell his friend Nathanael that he had found him of whom the scripture prophesied. It lets us believe that Philip, even if he's a Gentile, knew scripture, knew Old Testament scripture, and Jesus of Nazareth. John 1, 45 to 47, which we're going to come back and study in a few moments. 5, his name is listed among the apostles, Matthew 10:3, Mark 3:18, Luke 6:14. Now, point 6, Jesus Christ tested Philip at the feeding of 5,000. It's very interesting he picked Philip out. Let's look at John 6. John 6. Start reading in verse 5. John 6, 5. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, and said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" Now, this is setting up for the miracle, but it also lets us know about the Lord. What did he tell about the 12-year-old girl? See that she gets something to eat. These people have been following him. People, they didn't have a Wendy's hamburger, a McDonald's, all that. They didn't have that much stuff around. What are they going to do? Where are they going to eat? They're hungry. Now look at verse 6. And this he was saying to test him. See, he said to Philip, only to Philip, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? Now, some people conclude that Philip was responsible for making arrangements, logistical arrangements. I don't know if that's true or not. Doesn't matter. He's testing Philip at this point. So, and he said he was saying this to test him, verse 6. For he himself knew what he was intending to do. Okay? Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these with so many people? So we've gathered up how much money we have. We've got a little bit of food, but it's not enough for everybody. Jesus said, verse 10, have the people sit down. I love the Lord here. We're going to feed them. Let them sit down now. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number and about 5,000. Now, I do know, Judith and I, we have been to this place. I don't know why I ask if we've been there, because I remember when we were there. And it's just, still is. You can see that many people. Okay? Jesus therefore took the loaves, having given thanks, he distributed it to those who were seated. Likewise, also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And they were filled, he said, and when they were filled, everybody got as much as they want. And you got some young people there, you got some men there, ladies. All right. The disciples said to him, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. And they gathered them up and filled, 12. There's that name, that number 12 again. 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over of those who had eaten. Now, this doesn't say anything. And I've often wondered about this little guy. Hey, that's my food. You know, hey, I brought that. I'm smart enough to know I need food. What are you going to do with my food? But he didn't. Apparently he just, okay, you take my food. Yes, sir. But this is the test that gave to Philip, and Philip was passed. Yes?
Is this the first time they had sushi? Is this the first time they had sushi?
Well, he probably had it cooked.
I just gave him the fish. Like, you know, fish is raw. It's not what I would consider bad.
He probably had it mixed. All right, let's quickly sum this up and then we'll stop. 7, certain Greeks came first to Philip, and we just read that, to see Jesus Christ. He gets with Andrew, and is a Jew, and so they're going to go to Christ together. 8, the upper room, he said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. John 14, 7 through 9. So he is very practical, oriented. And 9, it is supposed that he went to Greece, Constantinople, and Syria. Don't know that for a fact. Okay. That brings us to another one, a name that I like, Bartholomew. I don't know how many of you could have known it was a Bartholomew that was a disciple. I knew it many, many years ago in the Baptist church. But we'll take a look next Wednesday night at the remainder of these men, and then we'll get to the one that we're here to study. And that's the doubter, Thomas. Thomas, the one who doubts. So we'll resume here next Wednesday night. And I just got that. Vicki, did you enjoy that? Yeah, it was fun. All right. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. It's so interesting, Father. When we get into the personality and the individuality of these men. They're not super spiritual. They're not holier than thou. They like us. They have their personalities. They have their trends of their sin nature. But Father, they have a love and a loyalty and a devotion for Jesus Christ. That Christ communicated with them for some 3 years, chose these 12, these 11, to be his disciples. And Father, they set the pace for the church age. They took the gospel all around the known world at that time. It'll be fun in heaven, Father, talking with Philip, where he went. Andrew, where did you go? Bartholomew, where did you go? Tell us some of your experiences telling others of this Jesus. But Father, we can have the same joy in our own lives of telling others about Jesus Christ, our Savior. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Thank you, Father, for sharing with us these stories in the Word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.